much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Listen, I gotta give a clue here now. I don't want any more bullshit any time during the day from anyone. That includes me. It's gonna be very hot, gonna be very uncomfortable for everybody. Want anybody yelling? We get anybody yelling around here anymore today, and then the shit's gonna hit the fan.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Well, you seem very, very proud of your homeland.
Indeed I am. You know, I miss it. Being here in France, I miss it back home, and I bless the rains down in Africa.
Right, right, like the song.
Oh, I'm not familiar with that.
It's the lyrics to the Toto song, Africa.
I'm not familiar with that. But at any rate, it's going to take a lot to drag
me away from you.
From you? That's what I was going to say.
Should we do it in harmony?
That's so bizarre. I was going to say drag me away from you from this great interview.
And now, the two people who you know and who you trust and whose on-screen chemistry can usually best be described as two people.
Our feature presentation.
What's up, party people? Welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show. This time it's for a Tuesday, the 24th of September. Good morning, y'all.
Morning.
Good morning, Bean.
How's everybody feeling?
Great.
I feel nice.
Especially, I feel worse.
Yeah, tell me, Muggs, what's going on with your broken collarbone?
This is day two, and way worse than yesterday. The pain is really starting to set in here. Mm-hmm. The doctor warned me that there'll be days like this, and that didn't even make sense. The third day is going to be the worst pain.
Oh.
So that's tomorrow.
Are you on all kinds of crazy painkillers?
Well, like I said yesterday, I try to limit the really, really heavy stuff for at night. Mm-hmm. So there might be some residual that I took last night, but this morning I started with a good old ibuprofen.
Yeah. Mm.
I will say there's a common eye. Today, he's much more reserved.
Yeah.
Yesterday, he was bouncing off the walls.
It's like a party. Yeah. It's like a party yesterday.
Yeah. Today, it's the reality's setting in.
Yeah. like yesterday, he's like, check out my new sling, guys.
Right. Does anyone want to sign it? And now today, he's just like, life's over.
Oh. Yeah.
How long is the recovery on a broken collarbone?
It is 6 to 8 weeks.
Dude.
Yeah. So, and I took a shower this morning for the first time since the injury. Mm-hmm. And boy, oh boy, was that not fun. I mean, one-handed everything.
Right.
I was putting on my deodorant one-handed. Left armpit, left hand. It was so sad. It was so sad and so hard.
Ever since I can remember, I was popping my collar, popping my collar.
I think you need to be taking the heavy stuff right now during the show, man.
I don't recommend that while I'm running the whole the board here.
I think that'd be fun for all of us.
I don't know.
All right. Well, let us know if there's anything we can do for you.
All right. I might need Ruben as my headphone caddy, though.
Yeah.
Ali right. Mentioned that earlier.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Allie, anything new with you?
No. Okay. Yeah, no. I literally went to bed last night. I had a very long day yesterday, and I went to bed last night around 6 p.m. And boy, did I wake up at 11:30 like I had just slept a whole marathon of an evening.
That's sweet.
So that's,
were you able to go back to sleep after the 11:30?
Yeah, around 1:30-ish.
Ooh.
Yeah, so a couple more hours of sleep, and I was
okay.
up, but... Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I finished Unbelievable last night.
Oh.
Am I the only one who has seen it yet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
On Netflix.
I've heard great things.
It's phenomenal.
It's very sad. Very sad.
It is, for folks who don't know, this is a new Netflix series starring the brilliant Toni Collette and the brilliant Merritt Weaver, who, by the way, has never been better. And they are cops who investigate rapes. And
so it's a sitcom?
It's comedy.
Yeah.
Nope. Very serious.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is an 8-parter, and there's a serial rapist that you. I mean, look, I'm sure this is based on a lot of real life tough police work that is done, but you have so much respect for how tedious that job is and how many dead ends there are before you finally get something that might lead you in the direction of the person you're seeking. And they do not give up. And it's remarkable television. I know that we just had the Emmys this weekend, But I'm already ready to fast forward to next year and watch Merritt Weaver's speech because she's incredible.
Yeah,
incredible.
You know it's based on a true story, right?
Yes, yeah. Based on a true story, yeah. It's great, though. For folks who have only heard about it or maybe haven't, it's definitely a recommendation from Beam. And you guys will love it if you have the opportunity to watch it. It's real good.
Okay. I mean, as you know, there is too much TV.
I know.
But I will put this on the list.
Yeah, put it on the list. And speaking of cops, I saw a great story that we could have saved for great news, but I can't wait. This involves local Anaheim police. Alex Ungurono, I'm sure is not how his name is pronounced, and Lorenzo Uribe.
I don't think so either.
They were on their way in Anaheim responding to the call of a suspicious vehicle on Sunday afternoon. It's 85 degrees outside, and they drive by an 85-year-old man who is out mowing the lawn in 85-degree heat. They say, we got to help this dude out. Excuse me, I'm sorry, I lied. He's 83.
Oh, then it's fine. They kept driving.
His name is Lupe Robles, and I think I got that one right, had been up on Sunday working since dawn, mowing not his, but his neighbor's yards, and pruning and watering their trees and shrubs for free, as he has done for the past 13 years in his Anaheim neighborhood.
That's very nice.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
And he's out there struggling with this lawnmower in an 85-degree day. And the police officers turned around and they said, we've got to help this guy out.
So I can just about walk. I can't hold a walk. I can't see too far and I can't hear too good.
And there he is right there. So one of the police officers got on the lawnmower and the other started cutting down some trees to see what else they could help him with. And somebody caught it on a video, as is so often the case. This is not the police officers advertising this. This is a neighbor who saw the cops out there doing the work with this old man. And they put it up on social media. So I'm so happy that these officers are getting the recognition that they deserve. And I suspect that, you know, police officers almost always make the news when it's a bad thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I suspect there are thousands of little things like this that go on in communities all over America that we never even hear about.
And shouts to that neighbor who videos how lazy he is.
Yeah. He just goes,
oh, normally I let this 83-year-old man do all of it. Now I'm going to let cops, who could be doing definitely better things, I'm going to let them do it, but I'll post it.
I bet he also called friends in the neighborhood and was like, hey, rob that liquor store.
Oh, yeah.
Cops are over here. Yeah. That guy is such a dick.
And keep rummaging through the 83-year-old's place because he's not going to be back for a while.
Unbelievable, that neighbor.
So once again, you managed to ruin a great thing.
Okay.
So I just want to, once again, without attempting to mangle their names, I just want to give a big shout out to the wonderful officers of the Anaheim Police Department. Well done.
Also, if an 83-year-old is like, I'd like to mow your lawn and fix your front yard, just pay someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why
accept it?
Good point.
I'd be like, don't do that, guy.
Seriously, take a break.
Yeah, go live the end of your life in happiness, not in...
in air conditioning.
Yeah, not in slavery.
Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Beach Show, shall we?
We will not let you get away with this. Ooh. Right here, right now, is where we draw the line.
Oh. You do not want to cross Greta, man.
No.
I am telling you.
Hates our show, it seems.
Sounds like it. Jensen, Untitled Goose Game today.
Very excited to go over the newest trend in video game. It's pretty good.
It's fascinating that somebody came up with this and that it is as popular as it has become so quickly.
Yeah, if you think Fortnite is stupid, I have the answer to the opposite.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, wedding proposal gone wrong. You may have already seen this. We have questions on how it went so terribly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's an exaggeration to say it's perhaps the best red carpet interview ever. If you haven't heard it, we'll break it down for you from Sunday's Emmy red carpet.
Is this guy stealing my shine?
It's not your work.
Yeah.
It would be of your interviewee.
Yeah.
And you will never top it. It is unreal.
Yeah.
It's strong. Also, I suspect we're going to hear some interesting stories with our phone topic today. In the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to be looking for you. If something happened to you that no one believes, like that time I was abducted by aliens, remember?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I keep telling everybody, they're like, it didn't happen. It was a dream. And I'm like, it happened. My butt still hurts. I can't get anyone to believe me.
Right.
This is what we're going to be looking for. It turns out that Jensen has a story.
Yeah.
Allie has a story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you have a story as well. So we'll be getting into that. Also, and this is maybe the reason, the real reason to listen today, giving away the farm, you guys, or the store, whichever one you give away. Hello Mega Tour tickets for Dodger Stadium with Green Day, Weezer, and Fallout Boy. Also, Allie, you've got Joker screening tickets to see it ahead of it opening next Friday, right? And WWE SmackDown, the 20th anniversary, is coming to Staples Center with every major superstar from Raw and SmackDown Live. This is a must-see event. We have tickets for that, and Allie's got What's
Happening. I can't talk too long. I got to poo.
Okay, we'll let you get right to that first. Allie's got What's Happening here on this Tuesday morning Kevin Amin Show.
Woo! The Emmys, you guys.
Yeah.
Bean, what did you think the numbers would be yesterday? You mentioned to the Hollywood Reporter's lovely Matt Bellany.
Well, I knew they were 10 million last year, so I was speculating, the way it's been going for broadcast TV, that it was probably going to be around 9.
Okay. Emmy viewership falls under 7 million for the first time in an all-time low rating.
At some point, it's not going to be worth them airing it, you guys.
Yeah, that's so low.
It's so low. Yeah, 6.9 million viewers, which normally I'd say nice, but it's not nice. That is 32% down from last year's ceremony on NBC. So that's particularly bad.
Question.
Yes.
You have a show with a ton of stars on it. You would think that that would get people to watch just because it's a, you know, it's a once a year event with a lot of stars in it. Is it that people just don't care about awards? People just don't care who wins awards?
I think we've hit a fatigue, right? Award show fatigue. I think people don't love, especially me, and I used to love award shows. Like, I'd watch just to, like, root on my favorite shows. I don't want to see, like, the self-celebratory stuff anymore. It just seems like we all hit a, you know, like, a wall with it. Like, it just, it's the same thing over and over again, and it's mostly for shows that people don't watch.
I think that's it, too, that before it was, you know, you had four TV stations.
Yeah, Cheers, Seinfeld, you know, you knew, it was Frasier,
you knew the shows. Even if you didn't watch them, you knew them. Yeah. But people are like, Fleabag, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, I don't know what the heck these shows are.
Yeah.
So I feel like, why would I watch to see people I don't even know congratulating themselves on the stage?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that plays a big part.
And I think you're right, Jensen. The self-congratulatory aspect of those shows has worn people down, too.
Yes.
Just to see people you don't care about reading lists of names is not good television.
I have always argued that there is room for a new award show. I don't know if it's not like the Blockbuster Awards or something, but a new show that just completely changes the format totally. And I don't know what it is, but I think that there is a world where it's completely reinvented and people start to watch it, but it's not the one that we know of.
Yeah. I'm with you. I used to love those award shows, and I only watch them for work now. I would not have had any interest in it otherwise.
Yeah.
I was really glad it was on at 5 p.m. because I knew I had to watch it for work. But by 6:30, I was like, oh, I really want to watch The Righteous Gemstones. Like, I really want this to end. So at least they're not, you know, at 8 p.m. anymore.
Yeah.
I guess we've got that. Also, let's stop them.
Yeah, let's stop them all.
Okay, let's stop them all. You know who also just couldn't even really care less about sitting there watching the Emmys? People at the Emmys. John Hamm skipped most of the Emmys to hang out backstage. So he was in his seat for the opening, then he's like, I'm going to head out. He was seated next to, and this might have something to do with it, he was seated next to Gwyneth Paltrow and her husband, Brad Falchuk, so maybe he didn't want to hang out with them.
Yeah, he was sick of hearing about a macrobiotic diet.
Yes.
And crafts.
And shoving eggs up your butt.
Yeah, and vajazzling.
Yeah. And not normal eggs, you guys. Don't, if you're about to make breakfast, don't shove an egg up there.
No, definitely.
And it's not even your butt, it's your hoo-ha. Anywho, so he opted to chill in the Lindt Chocolate Lounge all night, and he wasn't alone. Empire star Terrence Howard and Taraji P. Henson were there. Gwendolyn Christie was also there. Not many people wanted to sit in that audience and watch the show. Yeah. That's not a good sign.
Well, I guess they need to start hiring more seat fillers then.
Yeah. Maybe that's the answer. Hire more.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
All right, guys. Some birthdays. We've got Stephanie McMahon, Ben Platt, Nir Vardalos, and Kevin Sorbo.
Disappointed!
It cracks me up. The story with that is that he was reading a line from Hercules, and then at the end it said disappointed, so he was supposed to read it like he was disappointed, but instead he read,
Disappointed!
But
good.
Then the Kevin Sorbo truthers came out, and they're like, that wasn't it at all. He would never do that. He's a great actor, and it was like a callback to an inside joke with the crew, and it had to do with a fish called Wanda. And I, here's the thing. I like the original story better.
Me too.
Let's stick with it.
Also,
disappointed!
Does that mean we have to take away the Emmy for yelling disappointed?
Did he win an Emmy
for that? No. Kevin Sorbo's not even allowed there. He would explode if he walked in the Emmys.
He might be a seat filler, though.
That's true.
Oh, okay. Well, we've solved so many problems.
There you go.
Disappointed!
And that's what's happening.
You are, in fact, listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ on a Tuesday morning, and we thank you for that. A great 7 o'clock hour just ahead. Jensen will get us up. I know it's only Tuesday, mm-hmm. but he's going to get us up on the Untitled Goose Game, which America has fallen in love with.
Yeah.
Also, the world's greatest and then worst wedding proposal. And we're going to give away tickets for the WWE 20th Anniversary SmackDown coming the weekend after next with a game called Animal Mania. Think about that. Animal Mania. So that's all in the 7 o'clock hour. First, Allie, why don't you get us there with what's happening?
Well, Jeffrey Wright and Jonah Hill are in talks to star in the upcoming film from director Matt Reeves, The Batman. We all know this one. It's the DC reboot that's going to star Robert Pattinson as the Caped Crusader.
I don't go like Kevin and Bean. I'm like, yo, this is my favorite show. Like,
Jonah, that seems mean. Jeffrey Wright is in talks for the role of Commissioner James Gordon. Of course, okay. One of the Dark Knight's sure. most trusted allies in Gotham City.
That's good casting.
And Jonah Hill, according to Collider, is in talks to play the Riddler.
Yeah, I can see that.
I like it.
You like it?
He's so good.
Is he fat Jonah Hill or thin Jonah Hill right now?
Very thin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect for the Riddler then. Because otherwise he's got to play the Penguin.
It's a good point, Bean.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Have you seen the coffee spilling Jonah Hill meme?
Yeah. Great timing.
Good timing.
Yeah.
Good picture.
Have you seen it, Bean?
I have not. I guess I got to look it up.
It's him just walking down the street and he's holding the top of what looks like a Starbucks like iced coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And in the picture, he's just holding the plastic top, and the cup is about 2 inches below it. Whoever took it had the best timing ever.
It's on its way down, but yeah. Also it's causing no commotion.
No, everyone's just going about their day.
I hate to add to too much TV, but too many memes.
Too many memes.
I don't believe that, so.
There's no such thing?
Yeah, I don't think there's enough.
Okay.
I think we could stand to have more.
There you have it. Well, Gwen Stefani has announced the final 16 performance dates of her 2-year-long headlining residency. Gwen Stefani, Just a Girl. That's at Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. The show is going to end on May 16th, 2020, and the final 16 performances are going to go on sale this Friday. Those are both the months of February and May of 2020, if you want to catch that. But maybe you're like, well, I want to see her sooner. I'm busy all of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
There are still a limited number of tickets and VIP packages available for shows next month and the month of November.
I would very much like to see the Gwen Stefani show,
mm-hmm.
but it is not happening in my house.
No. Like I
She's
said.
She's not performing here.
It is
at least it's not announced yet.
Yeah.
Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. You said if you went, you would probably see the Aerosmith.
Yes.
That'd
be
right?
Top of my list if I could already say one thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see if Gwen can make it to your house.
Okay.
And just do a show. That would
like
be
it.
Nice. That'd be really Ooh. Nice of her. Guys, you're both cat guys. Jensen and Bean.
Mm-hmm. Very much.
Yes.
Bean or
She's delightful.
Yeah, she is.
I miss her. I miss her on camera. Yeah.
No,
but I love her ads. Hot.
She's great.
That's hot. That's Cat Corbett, and I'm talking about the actual feline, the animal.
Yeah, that's good, too.
Muggs, are you a feline fan?
I often say this. I love dogs, but cats are that much better.
Really?
Yep.
Whoa, mm-hmm. better than dogs.
Yes. They're self-sufficient. Surrounded by such
Self-reliant.
Cucks.
Okay, that's not how
All
that
three
works.
Are cucks.
Nope. Look, I nope. love cats, too,
uh-huh.
but it's a strong statement to say they're better than dogs.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, I'll even argue equal. I'll even argue they're
that's crazy.
No, they're
still.
Wonderful for mm-hmm. different reasons, but better than, you don't run into too many people with Muggs' opinion.
But cats don't eat their poo, so there's that.
But dogs do eat cat poo.
Yeah, that's why dogs are.
That's a great point.
That's why dogs are less.
They do. Mine does.
Okay, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Cats are aloof. They don't need you. That's what a lot of people think about cats, right? Well, a new study has found that cats really do see their owners as a source of comfort and security, even if they don't show it. They form attachments to their owners that are similar to those that dogs and even human babies form with their caregivers. So more than 60% of kittens studied displayed a secure attachment style, which meant that when their caregiver left the room, they were distressed. And then once they returned to the room, they displayed a healthy balance of attachment and exploration. So they
have no idea what that means.
Okay.
I have a great cat story. This is how I came to this conclusion.
Uh-huh.
When I brought my daughter home from the hospital, mm-hmm. one of my other cats is a psycho crazy person.
Okay.
Okay. Was attacking me and my baby.
That's dangerous.
Cornered, it really is.
Cornered
cats,
me.
Mom.
Cornered
yeah.
me in the corner. The other cat, Boots, awesome cat, mm-hmm. comes out of nowhere and just swipes the crazy cat out of the way and stands and protects us. That's why
that
cats
was
are
great.
Awesome. That's why cats are awesome.
I think that cat just wanted to swipe at the other one. It had nothing to do with you
it
or your daughter.
Saw that we were distressed, and it came to our rescue.
You're crazy. Send me pictures.
Yeah, if you could send Cat's mom some pictures.
I didn't take any pictures of it, but I do remember it.
I've had multiple cats in my life, mm-hmm. and I've been around multiple cats in my life. I have always found them to be warm and affectionate, and they love to be rubbed. They love to sit in your lap. The last thing they are is cold and ignoring.
Directing cats is like directing a group of world-class athletes.
Well, there you have it from three dudes that love cats.
I think my cat is the greatest cat, so you're
this
never
has been gonna cat talk.
I just, ugh.
These are people, but they're cats, and this is kind of blowing my mind.
Dudes with cats, I just run. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. All right. Yeah? Okay. Some birthdays for you. Ben Platt, Stephanie McMahon, Nia Vardalos, and Kevin Sorbo.
Disappointed!
On your birthday?
Mark Hoppus from that band Blink-182 did an interview this week. You know, their new album 9 just came out on Friday, and it's terrific if you haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. Really, really good. But he said, and this really, really surprised me, he said that he thinks Blink-182 did their best work with Tom DeLonge as a member of the band. Talked about the real unity of spirit in the band when the band found itself. When Tom was in the band, that's when Blink did its best work. Now, even if that's true, do you dump that on Matt, his replacement?
I don't think you really mention that. You
yeah.
didn't need to, but I think everyone agrees
yeah,
with Mark
Hoppus. I think even Matt does.
Your favorite Blink-182 songs mostly are from their early years when
sure.
Tom was in the band. Sure. I don't know. Look, I love Mark. We all do. It's just a weird thing for him to say in an interview when then he has to go on stage and play with Matt, who's thinking, I'm not as good as Tom.
That's high praise.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, let's talk geese for a moment.
Yeah.
Up until now, my favorite goose, or as he pronounced it, goose memory of all time has been when model Fabio was on that roller coaster and got hit in the face by one. Remember?
And yeah, he deserved it.
And when I think about Goose, that's what I think about. And then earlier this year when Beer Mug was on the red carpet after Captain Marvel and he interviewed Goose the Cat.
I'm here with Goose the Cat. Goose, what was it like working alongside the talented and lovely Brie Larson?
It was perfect.
So
wow.
Beer Mug can go straight to hell.
Yeah.
And now you've got a new Goose to introduce us to, Jensen.
Yeah, this past weekend, if you were on Twitter at all, you noticed Goose was trending. And it had nothing to do with anything that Bean just brought up or Top Gun.
I immediately thought volleyball.
No. It's a video game that has taken the world by storm. And let me explain. With Fortnite and Halo and all these, you know, games that sort of confuse me, even with the new Zelda on Switch, you would think that's what the video game industry is all about, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's No. This game is going to bring a lot of casual video game fans back to the genre. Okay. This game is by Panic Studios, and it took 3 years to make. And it all started with the guy who created, you know, the guy who owns this company. He just posted a picture of a goose online and said, let's make a game about this. No plan, nothing.
Just a goose.
Just a photo.
Just crowdsourcing it?
Yeah, no, just saying out loud, let's make a game. And then him and his company, which is called House House, they were like, yeah, let's make a game about a goose. And now the Untitled Goose Game has been released.
That's the name of it?
That is what it's called.
The Untitled Goose Game.
That's it.
What is with this company?
Why are they calling it that?
I don't know. But here's what the concept of the game is.
Is it a kids game?
No. Well, kids can play it, but it's for everyone.
That's okay. A terrible idea.
No, it's a great idea. Players get to take control of a goose in the outskirts of a English town, and they basically live the life of a simulated, genuine a-hole of an animal.
Okay.
Okay, because if you think about goose, they don't do anything.
They just attack you.
They just
attack
near and make noises.
So I'm the goose? Not someone taking care of the goose.
No, you are the goose.
Okay.
And you play in situations like a farm or a pub or a town center.
I can go in a pub?
You can go in a pub.
Okay, I'm in.
Okay. Throughout the game, you're just an urban terrorist. You block paths, right? You squawk at innocent people to annoy them. You break expensive items. You steal from children.
This is great!
And the missions are all like, you know, have a picnic or throw the groundskeeper's rake into a lake. And you ruin people's lives.
But nothing awful or violent. You don't attack anybody.
Like peck eyes out.
It's just, just mischief, right?
Yeah, you're just a bully.
Just goose shenanigans.
Yeah, you can't run. You definitely can't fly.
No.
You sort of just waddle.
Why are geese dicks?
Well, you only have two actions in the game. You can only do two things.
Okay.
Other than run or whatever, waddle. Honk.
Okay.
And bite.
Oh.
Those are just the two buttons you can do.
Okay.
It's like Home Alone. But with instead of Macaulay Culkin, you're a goose.
Okay.
You can honk whenever you want, and also there it is. See, you can also poop on the sidewalk.
Oh, all right.
Or just pick up trash and put it in front of someone's house.
Jensen, you know a lot about video games. Is this the first video game ever that you can poop in?
No, there are games where you can poop, but I don't know if you see your remnants after you're done.
Oh, I hope not.
There are games where you can just go to the toilet.
Okay, all right. But this is the only one you can goose poop.
Well, this is the only game in the world that has, like, zero consequences. So, like, for example, I could just, like, take someone's life and, like, for example, a farmer can have one rose that he's been working on years to set up his crops and stuff. And then I can go and just tear that rose apart. And then he gets really mad and runs after me. But if I come back, I could just watch him clean it up and plant a new one.
Oh,
and
man.
And it's super sad.
This is dark.
He just like slowly and methodically cleans up and then just plants a new seed. And then you leave and bother someone else.
Is there any way to either win or lose?
Yes. So you're given like a checklist of things to do, and you have to just mark them off one by one, and it only takes like 3 hours to finish the whole game.
It only takes 3 hours, said the guy that's just pooping on sidewalks.
Well, I'm not doing it in real life right now.
Okay.
But it's so fun. It's all puzzles, and it's actually kind of like a calming experience to just kind of maintain a life of an animal who pays no price for his actions.
You know I love it.
80% is what it's currently getting at Metacritic. Video Gamer says the Untitled Goose Game encapsulates the pleasure in poking fun without ever turning nasty, and you're a goose, which is great. God is a Geek is another website. They said a lovely small package of fun. Being this naughty has never felt this good.
Yeah, I think the kids are gonna love it.
I'm telling everyone. I've never had so much fun in a video game than just walking around as an asshole goose.
It's a sentence that was just said on our show.
I love it.
All right.
Are you guys not into this?
Where can I find it?
You can buy it on the Switch.
Okay.
Or on like Steam, so like a PC or Mac.
Mm-hmm.
But on the Switch, it's like $15, and you can just download it and play it for
how drunk can Ali's goose get at the pub?
Yeah.
There is sort of a thing about breaking people's beers, but I like breaking their glasses and stuff.
Oh, see, that seems mean.
Well, that's... You're a goose.
Jensen, you're a lifelong wrestling head.
Mm-hmm.
How big a deal is this WWE SmackDown 20th anniversary coming to the Staples Center October 4th?
It's a big deal with it moving to Fox. Huge. It's their biggest deal ever. And they've announced like Hulk Hogan's going to be there. Ric Flair's going to be there.
Every major superstar from Raw and SmackDown Live are going to be there. Friday, October 4th, we're going to give you tickets. Or give you a chance to earn them anyway in about 5 minutes. 5 minutes from right now on the Kevin Bean Show. If you're a WWE fan, you do not want to miss that.
Yeah, and especially if you're like an old school fan, because the questions we have are going to be right up your alley.
Fantastic. Tragic story in the news. And the reason we bring it up, there's no silver lining. There's no laughs here. But the reason we bring it up is I need more information on this story. And
fatality.
I'm hoping there's somebody out there who is either a doctor
or maybe in this case, a diver who can help explain what happened. I'm going to play some news or audio for you here in a minute, but the gist of the story is this couple from Louisiana, Stephen and Kenesha, have been dating for about 2 years, and he decides on this vacation that they're on to Pemba Island, which is off the coast of Tanzania, Eastern Africa. He decides that they're staying in this fantastic cabin. Have you guys seen the pictures?
You told me not to read this story.
Yeah, I did not see the pictures. No.
This is a beautiful cabin that is out in the water, and the bedroom is 30 feet underwater. So as you're laying in bed, you're actually looking at the ocean outside the giant windows in your bungalow. It's just gorgeous. He decides he is going to propose, and you'll hear the contents of the note that he covered in plastic and held up against the window while his soon-to-be fiancée was filming from inside, okay? So you get the gist. He goes out, he jumps into the water, he goes down about 30 feet to where the room is where she can see him like he's in a fish tank and holds up a note. Here's the story.
What does that say?
When Steven Weber proposed to girlfriend Kenesha Antoine.
Oh, I just can't.
He did it with a little bit of daring, writing, "I can't hold my breath long enough to tell you everything I love about you."
I can't hold my breath long enough.
Yeah.
That becomes significant in a moment.
Oh. Her answer, a resounding yes, but Weber never heard the reply. He drowned shortly after this proposal.
What?
Yeah.
Yes. He drowned during the proposal. And here's why I need some help from a diver or a doctor at 1-800-520-1067. When you watch this video, Allie, you will see that he appears to be in peak health. He swims down there. He holds the sign up. She sees it. Then he reaches around and pulls out of the trunk of the pockets of the trunks that he's wearing. He pulls out an engagement ring and actually, you know, has the time to hold the ring up, open the box so that she can see it. And then you see him kind of push off and head toward the surface.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she's videoing all of this from the room. So something happened between the time that he proposed and then started heading toward the surface to the time he got to the surface and was essentially unconscious.
And one of the reports that I had heard, too, said that it took so long for him to get up, like even though he's dead at that time. Like he was down there forever, which also
but
is weird.
Why?
To me. I don't know. That's what I was trying to figure out.
Because he's not struggling. He's not rushing. He doesn't appear to be having any trouble holding his breath. How does he end up? And he was still alive when he got to the top, Jensen, because some boaters nearby pulled him up and gave him mouth to mouth and he had a pulse.
Oh, okay.
But then died afterwards. Like, what could have happened to this guy? He's 40 years old.
Could have had a heart attack.
Yeah.
Right at that time.
Brain aneurysm.
Stroke.
Something like that. Stroke.
Yeah.
This is what I'm wondering is, and forgive me if this is stupid, and this is why I want to talk to a diver. Is 30 feet down enough that you have to be careful going up? Is that far enough down that you have to start thinking about the bends or anything like that? Or not far enough?
30 is pretty low, man. I mean, I even feel like I get a little pressure at the bottom of like an 8-foot pool.
Really?
I do, yeah.
You're a mess. But 30 feet to go, because he has to go down the 30 feet.
Yeah.
And hold his breath, right?
Do the whole showing of the thing against the screen.
Which then, takes what, about 30 seconds, would you say,
yeah,
Jensen?
He could have... Yeah.
He also,
this is bad.
He went down there knowing that breath, like I know it was a joke kind of in the letter, but like he did keep it in mind.
Yeah.
So it's also weird for him, you know, he didn't just go down there and be like, I could do this. He was kind of slightly understanding that he would run out of breath.
He was making a pun. Yeah, he was making a pun in the letter basically saying I can't, about his breath when he knew he was going to be underwater. All right, let's hear some more of the story.
The Louisiana couple, both 40 years old, had been together for 2 years.
So excited.
And were celebrating their love with a bucket list vacation.
Here we go.
Staying in a partially submerged hotel room about 30 feet underwater. The $1,700 a night room is the centerpiece of the Manta Resort, a luxurious hotel off the coast of Tanzania. Stephen's sister Mandy said their family knew Stephen was planning to pop the question, but weren't aware of his risky plans.
I mean, he probably thought, he planned this thing out and thought, what can go wrong? I'm just jumping into a pool, essentially. I'm going to do the do, and then I'm going to come back up, and we're gonna do it, right? I mean, that's what he was thinking.
Sure.
I wonder if when he was heading up, like he hit his head on some part of the house or something, yeah, like knocked him out, got disoriented. I don't know.
His fiance says in her Facebook posts, where she posted this video, you can actually see, you never emerge from those depths, so you never got to hear my answer. Yes, yes, a million times yes, I will marry you, she said sadly after he was already dead. Let's go to line one at 1-800-520-1067. This is Matt Plata Ray. He is an ocean lifeguard. He sounds like somebody who may know something about this. Matt, thank you for listening. What's going on, dude?
Hey, guys. Yeah, you know, listening to the story, it sounds like I've been diving since I was 12 years old. I've been spearfishing pretty much since 12 to now. And it sounds like this guy got what's called shallow water blackout.
Oh.
What? Tell me about that.
So this is just classic. It sounds like this. So it's shallow water blackout. It's pretty much you're not in that deep of water, 30 feet for diving. You know, it might be deep for some people, but it's not for a diver. You go down to that depth and you hold your breath for a really long time and you're really pushing it, which it sounds like this dude was doing. You know, you're going to shoot to the surface when you need air. And what often happens in shallow water blackout is people are diving. Usually it's with spear fishermen too. They hold their breath looking for fish. They're at the bottom for a really long time. They come up either too fast or they just come up like normal. And you get to the surface, it kind of probably feels like you're getting drunk. And as you get to the surface, you're kind of like getting all dizzy, and then you just pass out. Yeah. Guys will go down. They make it up to the surface like this, and then they just end up losing consciousness and sink back down.
Oh, my gosh.
So, so sad.
I honestly don't even like swimming for this reason. I know that sounds insane. I like swimming above water or, like, you know, being in a pool.
Oh, you can swim above water?
No, well, you know, like...
Tell us more,
like,
Jesus.
I am...
This is a weird way to come out as Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, like regular, you know, swim strokes. Like,
yeah. He's doing a freestyle stroke for those that can't see it.
I can do that. But anything below that low, like anything below 4 or 5 feet, I feel it in my head. I would never do this.
Yeah. Matt, we've all felt that squeeze in your ear when you guys are diving. You know, you can feel that pressure kind of equalize and change.
Have you ever been around a situation where this has happened to someone, this shallow water blackout?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. So over near in the South Bay here in Palos Verdes, a lot of guys will, during the spring, they dive for a fish called a white sea bass. It's kind of a prized ocean fish to spear. You have to kind of like an underwater ninja to get them because they're really hard to find. And, you know, every other year or so, people will unfortunately kind of max out their ability and they'll stand there too long. And you'll hear it in the news. Yeah, guys do die doing this, you know. And unfortunately, this is exactly what happened to this guy proposing.
Well, you have answered all of my questions, and it sounds very likely that that's what's happened. So thank you very much for calling. We appreciate
it. All right, guys.
Yeah. Thank you. And what a just what a super sad story to go from the highest high of this amazing proposal for marriage and thinking this is the beginning of the rest of my life.
It's a dumb way to get out of a proposal, though. You know what I
don't
mean?
Think
like, he doesn't want to marry
her. That's not,
or just
that's
say
not
it.
What we're talking about here. That's no. I think you've missed.
That went south. So this day in history with Old Man Reuben.
It was September 24th, 1991, when Nirvana released a seminal album, Nevermind, forever changing rock music and giving a voice to an entire generation. I was living in Seattle at the time and working as a fisherman. I specialized in salmon and halibut, supplying some of the city's finest restaurants with sea life for their menus. Everything was going great, and then one morning a whale smashed into my houseboat, tossing everything I owned into the water and sinking my entire business. I swam for over 6 miles back to shore and had to leave the fish industry for good. Sad, too, because it was a great gig. I miss it. Oh, yeah, Nirvana. I was more of a Blind Melon guy.
See, because Reuben is old.
Wow. Reuben has had an interesting life, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Quite the journey
long
to get
road.
Back to Nirvana.
Long road for that punchline.
WWE SmackDown 20th anniversary at the Staples Center is a week from Friday. You can celebrate SmackDown's 20th anniversary with every major superstar from Raw and SmackDown Live. Tickets are on sale now at the box office or AXS.com. Jensen, you say we're looking for old school wrestling fans here.
Yeah, someone who knows something about the past, back when it was the WWF even.
Okay.
And also think of animals.
Think of animals. All right. 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game. You win your tickets next on K-Rock.
This day in history with Old Man Reuben.
It was September 24th, 1991, when Nirvana released a seminal album, Nevermind, forever changing rock music and giving a voice to an entire generation. I was living in Seattle at the time and working as a fisherman. I specialized in salmon and halibut, supplying some of the city's finest restaurants with sea life for their menus. Everything was going great, and then one morning a whale smashed into my houseboat, tossing everything I owned into the water and sinking my entire business. I swam for over 6 miles back to shore and had to leave the fish industry for good. Sad, too, because it was a great gig. I miss it. Oh, yeah, Nirvana. I was more of a Blind Melon guy.
See, because Reuben is old.
Wow.
Wow. Person has had an interesting life, hasn't he?
Yeah.
It's quite the journey to get back to Nirvana.
Long road for that punchline.
Hey, you guys, the weekend after next, Hulk Hogan will be there. Ric Flair, Sting, Goldberg. Also, let's not forget WWE Champion Kofi Kingston versus Brock Lesnar for the championship.
I'm Hulk Hogan, by the way.
That's right. It's all going down at the WWE SmackDown 20th anniversary at Staples Center October 4th. We're giving away tickets right now to the callers on the line if they can get through this game called Animal Mania.
Oh, yeah. Let's go, brother.
Animal Mania.
Hey, brother. Welcome to Animal Mania, where you can win tickets to SmackDown.
Animal Mania.
That's right, brother. Just identify the animal that was used on the WWE.
Animal Mania.
All right, brothers or sisters. It's time to play Animal Mania. Be coolie fruit. This is Hulk Hogan, by the way.
Now, when you say identify the animal, Jensen, yeah. What do you mean?
Well, in the 80s and early 90s, many wrestlers were given an animal to come out to the ring with or as part of their quote-unquote gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to... Basically, I'm asking you for the animal that these certain wrestlers brought out.
Okay.
Right. Animal Mania!
That's loud. All right, let's go to... this is the good Omar. He's in Sun Valley, and he's on line one, up first on the Kevin Bean Show. So they get through you, Jensen. They name the animal. They're in the drawing to win a pair of tickets.
That's right. Omar, are you a big wrestling head?
Oh, big time. Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. This one should be easy for you. Jake Roberts is considered one of the greatest psychological wrestlers of all time. Just his musky stare alone could instill the fear of God in his opponents. But that was never enough. Jake carried around a burlap bag with a terrifying animal inside that also gave him his nickname. What was the animal?
Jake the Snake Roberts feared the DDP.
There you go. That's the first one.
All right. Omar is in the running. Thank you. Let's go to Vanessa. She's up next, Garden Grove, line two.
All right, Vanessa, here we go. The Boogeyman was one of the WWE's most ridiculous attempts at creating a real-life monster in the ring with his black and red face paint, missing teeth, and erratic seizure-like movements, but it was his slithery sidekicks that put the horror over the edge. What creepy crawlers would Boogeyman chomp on himself but also leave in the mouths of his defeated opponents?
Worms?
Worms it is!
Thank you, Vanessa. So wait, so he would like a mama bird would like put worms into the mouth of the people he beat in the ring?
Yeah, but more violent. So he would eat the worms and chew and everything. Mm-hmm. And then he would also at the end then put the worms in like sort of like a shove the worms into the mouth of the person on the floor.
I feel like the animal rights activists closed out a lot of these acts. Right?
Just so you know, I worked at WWE around those years in 2005, 2006. He was practicing that idea with rats.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Okay. I just threw up a little bit in my mouth.
Yep.
Let's go to Kavina, please. Line three. This is Art. He's a cable guy.
Oh, Art, you ready for a little WWE action?
Let's do this, party people.
All right. Davey Boy Smith was a British treasure in the WWE during the 80s. He's best known for his work as a tag team wrestler and his relation to the Storied Heart Foundation. But at one time, he was accompanied by what breed of dog, lovingly named Matilda, that also doubled as his ring moniker?
That would be the Bulldog, the British Bulldog.
That works.
Nice.
Animal Mania.
By the way, you're in the drawing, sir. Thank you very much. I know I say this every time we do a wrestling-related game. Mm-hmm. Our listeners rule when it comes to wrestling stuff.
Wrestler heads.
They really know their stuff.
Yep.
All right. Angel Monrovia up next, line four.
All right,
hey,
Angel.
Here
we go. WWE Hall of Famer Ricky Steamboat will always be remembered as one of the most skilled superstars to ever compete. But in one match, it was this reptile that stole the spotlight when he revealed it as a scare tactic at the end of the match. Way before Game of Thrones, what animal did Ricky bring to compete?
Believe it was a Komodo dragon.
All right, let's try to do two more real fast.
All
let's
right.
go to Joanna up next, Rancho Cucamonga.
All right, you ready for this one, Joanna?
Sure.
All right. The outlandish Coco Beware was one of my favorite superstars in the 80s, and because of Frankie, his pet bird that would perch itself outside the ring during matches. I contemplated revealing that the real bird Frankie died in a house fire a few years later, but then I figured it would be too sad for a radio game. So you tell me, what type of flying friend was the barbecued birdie?
It was a parrot.
This is astonishing, you guys.
It truly is.
It's amazing. All right, line six, L.A. Yeah, Eric?
Good morning, party people.
All right, Eric.
No pressure here. Yeah, exactly. Perfect game so far. Don't screw it up.
Speaking of birds, it was WrestleMania 9 when the iconic Undertaker was set to grapple with Giant Gonzalez, a 7-footer who wore a bodysuit that made him look like Bigfoot. But more on that another time. What is important is the bird that walked to the ring with Undertaker. What type of Death Valley flying creature found time from picking apart dead people bodies in the desert to make this pay-per-view appearance in 1993?
That would have been a vulture.
Unbelievable.
Sure. All right, we ran the table, you guys. Omar, Vanessa, Art, Angel, Johanna, and Eric are all in the running. Unfortunately, only one wins the tickets, although they all deserve them. Hit the thing again. Four tickets to WWE SmackDown 20th Anniversary at the Staples Center. You can buy them at AXS.com. Or who wins them right now?
She's from Garden Grove. It's Vanessa B. on line two.
Vanessa! Have a great time. Congratulations. Thanks for playing Animal Mania. Allie, I don't want to steal your thunder because I know you got some great stories for us here and what's happening.
Well, this is a great story about... No.
What just happened?
Go ahead.
I don't want to steal your thunder, but we have something. We have something that's entertainment related coming up just after 8.
Uh-huh.
And it is maybe the greatest red carpet interview ever.
I love it.
It's a great interview, and by interview, just letting a guy talk and not challenging him in any way.
Mm-hmm. Terrence Howard, Oscar-nominated actor, who is Lucius, of course, on Empire, he was stopped by Sam Rubin. And here's just a clip of what we're going to be hearing a greatly expanded version of in a minute.
I've made some discoveries in my own personal life with the science that... you know, Pythagoras was searching for. I was able to open up the flower of life properly and find the real wave conjugations.
I mean, how do you not?
How is that not Cheers with Beer Money?
I mean,
I do believe in it. How? You're no friend of mine if you're not sticking around to hear the entirety of the Terrence Howard interview. That is coming up right after 8. Allie will take us there with what's happening.
Well, we all know social media can be an absolute dumpster fire. But it can also be used for good, rallying people for a good cause. Maybe you're raising money for someone super deserving. It feels like we had a run like every other week. Mark Ruffalo was losing something in a cab, so he'd reach out to his Twitter followers and say, hey, if you see this backpack, let me know. So you can find things as well through Twitter, right?
Yeah.
That's where Lenny Kravitz comes in. He asked his Twitter followers yesterday if they could help him find a pair of beloved sunglasses that he has misplaced. He shared two photos of himself wearing these square silver frames and said, I'm missing this pair of sunglasses after my show in LA at the Shrine this weekend. They are incredibly sentimental to me. They're vintage and they belong to a family member. Hoping to get them back, no questions asked.
It's always the family member, by the way. Hoping to get them back.
I don't think he'd borrowed them. I think maybe someone gave them to him and maybe he died.
Okay.
Or she died. He even created a dedicated email address for tips. So he said, any information, please email kravitzglasses@gmail.com. I mean, he really wants these glasses back.
Yeah.
That's sad.
I want to take an email that's like kravitzglasses1@gmail.com or something and just get his runoff.
Yeah.
And get his leftovers.
Yeah.
You think someone would mistakenly put a 1 at the end?
Sure.
Hopefully.
Kravitz's glasses?
Kravitz's glasses.
Is it right now just Kravitz
glasses? It's just Kravitz with the Z at the end.
Easily. I could do Kravitz's glasses and get all his runoff.
I bet you get some emails.
Yeah, and put people on a sort of wild goose chase.
Yeah.
An untitled goose chase.
What is wrong with you right now? I really want to screw Lenny Kravitz. How can I do it? How can I save him from getting his glasses back and have some fun with people's niceness?
Listen.
Just saying, you guys. We all know that reading is for suckers.
Absolutely.
But, what was more popular for books than Oprah's book club?
Nothing.
Right?
Yeah, she sold a billion of them.
A billion.
She made Jonathan Franzen like a huge author. I remember that was a big one. Mm-hmm. And then she got behind the wrong author with, what's his name? Gray. What was his name?
Million Little Pieces?
Yeah, I think so.
That's also a show on ABC.
Yeah. Keep going.
Oprah! Well, here's the thing. The book club, to end all book clubs, is coming back. Oprah Winfrey shared her first selection for her show on Apple TV Plus, dubbed Oprah's Book Club. I mean, I feel like it's just the same name. She selected The Water Dancer. Bean, have you read that?
I have not.
Ta-Nehisi Coates?
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, tune in when the network drops November 1st on Apple TV Plus. Have we discussed if we're going to get that?
We're all going to get that. Yeah, we discussed we're all going to get that.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't know that book was out yet, by the way.
I think it's coming out, right?
Okay.
Yeah, he's all great. Right. The book was called A Million Little Pieces by James Frey. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. To be confused with the show on ABC that is a delight that I had first thought, you're trying to be a little bit too much like This Is Us. It's not. It's fantastic. I love it so much. I can't wait for fall TV to be back, you guys. I love it. Anyway, Apple TV Plus, I'm not sold yet. I think that morning show looks fantastic.
That's going to be a huge hit.
But that's not enough for me to get it.
Well, understandable.
I'm just letting you guys know, okay?
You know what I think?
What?
I've made some discoveries in my own personal life with the science that, you know, Pythagoras was searching for. I was able to open up the flower of life properly and find the real wave conjugations.
I'm not going to lie. I had more stories.
I do believe they land on the moon.
I had more stories, and I don't even want to do them because I want to get to that so bad. So for now, some birthdays. Stephanie McMahon, Ben Platt, Nia Vardalos, and Kevin Sorbo.
Disappointed!
We've talked about this. The story was that was in the script, and at the end it said disappointed. So you were supposed to say the line like you were disappointed. And then, Sorbo truthers were like, no, that's not true at all. He's a total professional. He would never do that. It's an inside joke with cast and crew. It had to do with a fish called Wanda. So stop being mean to Kevin Sorbo. Blah, blah, blah. Now, I'm sticking with it. It was at the end of a line.
Disappointed!
Right? Who's with me? It's a better story.
Sure.
Is Terrence Howard okay, or is he trolling, or is he sick, or what's happening here? I'm asking you to diagnose him.
He's always been off his rocker.
He's a bit of a wackadoodle, a little out there.
And also a real problematic Google search if you get into it.
Yeah. Well, we're staying away from that right now. why was he at the Emmys? He was not nominated.
He's on a Fox show called Empire, and the Emmys were on Fox.
Ah, gotcha. Mm-hmm. So he was product placement. Understood. All right. So Terrence Howard, who in this interview mentions that he's never been nominated for an Emmy, by the way, which kind of burns him a little bit.
He brings it up like three times.
He's interviewed on the red carpet. Now, I'm familiar with Sam Rubin, of course. Who's his partner in crime on the purple carpet? Carpet, actually.
That is the 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. anchor, Jessica Holmes. She is a wonderful human being that we love so much.
Well, I am very mad at her at something she did in this interview, but we'll get to that. So here they introduce Terrence on the red carpet.
Lucius is in the house. Terrence Howard here. You made huge headlines when you said after you complete these 15 episodes of Empire, you got to walk away for a while or forever.
For good. I mean, everyone keeps trying to tell me, don't say it's forever. But I've spent 37 years pretending to be people so that people can pretend to watch and enjoy what I'm doing when I've made some discoveries in my own personal life.
Okay, so it was going fine, I think. He was basically saying I need a break.
Yeah, but if you listen close, it started to not fully make sense when he's like, I'm pretending to be someone people are pretending to watch. It's getting a little weird.
Well, I pretended to watch Empire for a season, so I get it.
But so far, I'm willing to say that he's not too abnormal here because
he's a
guy who's just been working hard and is, this is a tough schedule doing television and he needs a break. Okay, but now he pivots into the science part of it.
I've made some discoveries in my own personal life with the science that, Pythagoras was searching for. I was able to open up the flower of life properly and find the real wave conjugations.
Okay, what's happening?
Yes, science.
What is happening? Is he working on math, like in his trailer or something, and he has cracked a formula that we've been needing to be cracked? Or
Pythagoras' theorem, he's saying that he was able to
improve
solve a solution that he was never able to solve based on discoveries in his life.
Okay, do we think that's true?
No.
It could be. Why not? Someone's got to come out and say there are no straight lines.
And for people who haven't seen the video, he also has, like, wild eyes in it, in my opinion. I mean, he always has wild eyes. But this was crazy.
You know who else had wild eyes? A guy named Einstein.
Okay. Thank you.
Right?
All right.
Thank you. Mazatlan.
That we've been looking for 10,000 years. Why would I continue, you know, walking on water for tips?
Okay. So walking on water for tips, I guess, is what he means.
Acting.
That's acting,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When he's got solutions to things we've been searching for 10,000 years, mm-hmm. it honestly, he's not wrong. It would be a waste of his genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to put him on
this
TV.
This is like when Jessica Alba walked away for The Honest Company. He's saying he's doing it for science.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yep.
When I've got an entire generation to teach a whole new world.
That's a big remark. Yeah. What do you intend to do?
Well, let me put it this way. All energy in the universe is expressed in motion. All motion is expressed in waves.
By the way, again, a reminder, this is a red carpet interview at the Emmys.
Right,
sir, this is the Emmys.
All waves are curved, so where does the straight lines come from to make the platonic solids? There are no straight lines.
See?
So,
see?
What is he talking
about?
There
are no straight lines.
See?
I remember the first time I did mushrooms.
Now, if this were a Kevin Amin interview in this situation, I would say to Terrence Howard, I have no idea what you're talking about mm-hmm. right now. But Sam just let it roll off of man water like over a duck. You know, he just like is just taking it in and probably thinking of his next question.
So when I took the flower of life and opened it properly, I found a whole new wave conjugations that expose the in-between spaces. That's it's the thing that holds us all together.
I mean, how would you sit there and just listen and not be like, dude, what's going on, man? What are we talking about?
Yes.
Well.
You've been on the red carpet, Allie. What's going through Sam's mind right now?
Well, I'm very different from Sam because I would immediately have said, dude, I'll have what you're having. What are you even saying? I would interrupt it. But Sam is, you nailed it when you said it before. He's thinking of his next question.
Okay.
He's not even listening to this man.
This guy said he's quitting acting in science, and Sam went, that's pretty bold.
Yeah.
That's pretty bold there.
His partner, I'm sorry, her name again?
Jessica Holmes.
Jessica has not piped up yet, but she is
She's staring at the ground, and she looks like she wants to laugh. Mm-hmm. Which we're all thinking.
Or be teleported out of that arena.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. She is going to speak up here and make me very angry soon.
I'm sharing that. On Tuesday, when I receive my star, I'm going to be able to prove that gravity is only an effect and not a force.
Okay. So I assume 11:30 is what time those ceremonies always seem to be. So at 11:30 this morning, the world will be forever changed as it is proved to us that gravity is not a force.
Correct.
Right?
During his Hollywood Walk of Fame induction,
right.
He is going to hijack it and tell us that gravity is BS.
And this is where Jessica jumps in.
I'm putting something on YouTube where I will build the planet Saturn without gravity and build the Milky Way galaxy without gravity.
Okay, he's building the planet Saturn without gravity and the Milky Way. Listen to Jessica's question.
Did you also say you're getting your star?
How do you do that?
Here's what I guarantee she was trying to do. She was trying to get it back on track. She's got producers in her ear saying what guest they have next. They don't want to lose that next guest for Cuckoo Majoo, except I would. I'd keep him right up there. But they're getting told who's coming up next, so they're trying to wrap it up.
He's building Saturn
I
and
get
the
it.
Milky
I get
Way
it.
Without
wait,
gravity.
Wait, did you say you're getting a star?
How is that her takeaway?
She's just getting it back on track so they can say goodbye. I swear.
Okay.
Did you also say you're getting your star?
Yeah.
On the Walk of Fame,
which is interesting.
Okay, so now he goes off on the tangent.
She says it like it's bonkers.
Yes. Well, she wants to keep him on track.
Yeah, that's the bonkers thing about this
you
interview.
Said on the Walk of Fame? Not on Burbank Boulevard? Like, what?
So Terrence Howard, in addition to gravity and Saturn, also has thoughts about his star.
How am I getting a star when I've never received an Emmy nomination for TV?
You're a presenter tonight. You can do whatever you want when you stand in front of that microphone. What are you going to do?
Okay, so Sam goes to, again, ignoring everything that has come before, going,
but
hey, you're a presenter tonight.
Small credit to Sam there. it is a question that could reopen the crazy.
Uh-huh.
Because he's saying, you're going to be up on stage. What are you going to do? You can do anything you want.
Yeah, because he could drop some of his mad knowledge from the stage, right?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I'm just being honest and looking at it. You know, I would think an Emmy nomination would come first.
Okay, so he's got a lot of thoughts in his mind. By the way, he did say in another interview on the red carpet with Extra that he wants to go out and promote and teach the new geometry, you know. Apparently, he has a book about math, I guess. So, Terrence Howard, I just got to say, it may be the most newsworthy and significant Hollywood Walk of Fame appearance ever today.
Oh, I'm watching with bated breath.
I mean, that ceremony... They don't run those things. They don't stream those live, do they?
No.
Oh, I think we need to send someone down there.
God. I mean, if he's really going to break open the secrets of the universe.
I mean, guys, he's going to ruin gravity.
Yeah.
And we're just going to sit here?
Yeah.
Terrence Howard 2020. Who's you guys busy on July 25th, 2020? You got plans already?
I do.
Let me look it up.
Oh, man, yeah. Allie,
what?
You're going to be so disappointed when
Why?
I tell you. You shouldn't book that far ahead because that's the day of the Hell Omega Tour at Dodger Stadium.
No, that's what I'm doing.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
With it.
I can't go. I just saw I'm picking up cleaning.
Oh, shoot. You're going to miss a great show.
Oh, well.
Green Day, Weezer, Fall Out Boy, and The Interrupters. No bar bands on this bill. We're giving away tickets every hour this week throughout the day on The Kevin and Bean Show, including our show. Every hour throughout the day on K-Rock, including at our show at 9 a.m. So in about a half an hour or so, we'll tell you how you can win your tickets at 9 a.m. to join us at Green Day, Weezer, Fall Out Boy, and The Interrupters. It's going to be fun. All right. There is a Reddit group that I stumbled upon last night looking for alien porn, and I think it is a fascinating topic, and I'm going to ask you guys if you have anything to contribute to this. The topic is, it happened to me, I swear it, it's real, it's true, I'm not making it up, but nobody believes me. I've told the story before, nobody believes me, even though it happened. For instance... Not that big a thing, but one time I found a $10 bill on the ground. I didn't think much about it until I went to the cash register and realized I'd left my credit cards at home and I had no cash whatsoever except the $10 I had just found. The stuff that I was buying came to exactly $10.
Yeah, that is hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. This person says it happened, but nobody believes. They think she's making the story up. Number two. I was in New York with my family one time. We all split up for a while to go our separate ways. And for some reason, I said out loud, I really wish I could meet Dan Marino. Behind me, a voice said, why? Are you a fan of me?
And it was Dan Marino.
It wasn't. That's what's weird about it.
It was Joe Montana.
Whoa. It was Dan Marino. Wow. The guy said it out loud, and Dan Marino was standing behind him. He says,
that's such a big liar.
He says everyone thinks he's a big liar, but he's not a big liar. All right, one more, and then I want to throw it up in the room, and we're going to take your calls on this, too. 1-800-520-1067. You swear it happened, but nobody believes you. I was at my friend's lake house when I was 8 years old. He lives on an island with only 10 homes, and you have to take a 5-minute ferry to get there. We were playing in his front yard when out of nowhere, a man on a horse-drawn carriage strolls by. He was wearing a top hat. He was wearing a top hat and a really old black suit. We made eye contact, and he simply tipped his hat and kept going. Once he got out of sight, my friend and me chased out after him to try to pet the horse, but when we turned around the corner... He was gone.
It was a ghost.
We had just seen him 30 seconds earlier, and there was a straight dirt road all the way to the ferry, so there was no possible way he could have just disappeared. We tried to tell my grandparents. They didn't believe me. No one has believed me since.
I believe you.
Why the f*** you lying? Why you always lying?
He saw an old-timey ghost. That's rad.
If you if you've had this happen to you, it must be the most frustrating thing in the world to have had an extraordinary, and we all joke about the alien abductions and stuff, but I mean, for the people that it has happened to have nobody believe them and look at them like they're crazy, must be a very difficult way to live.
It is. It is, Bean.
All right, Allie, well, you sound like you have some experience in this.
Yeah, no one in my elementary school believed me. But this was a huge, huge, huge day for me. So my dad, he used to work at Cedars-Sinai, and he was asked to do some consulting for this movie, Like Father, Like Son. It came out in 1987. It was Kurt Cameron, Dudley Moore, and it was kind of a Freaky Friday situation. Dudley Moore played like a heart surgeon in it, and Kirk Cameron was his high school son, and then they had a Freaky Friday moment. Anyway, my dad had to do consulting on it, which he hated. He thought it was the worst experience of his life. But during one of the breaks in filming, he was in charge of Kirk Cameron. So he was telling him, oh, my daughter loves Growing Pains. She's the biggest fan of that show.
And how old are you, about 25 now?
No, I was in elementary school.
Okay, gotcha.
And Kirk Cameron said, oh, we should call her. They went to a hospital phone, and Kirk Cameron called me when I was in elementary school, and it was the coolest day of my life. I immediately, after I talked to him, hung up, called all my friends. They're like, okay. And then I get to school the next day, and my friends had already told other people, like, right. Well, no, he's going to tell you this BS story. Yeah. Like, no one believes her, right. Whatever.
Allie thinks Kirk Cameron called her.
Kirk Cameron, at the height of Kirk Cameron-ness, like, he was on all the Tiger Beat magazines.
You liar!
It's real. You can call my dad, which was my defense. I kept saying, you can call my dad, you guys. And it was like, why would we call your dad, you loser? And I'm like, Dad, can you come to school and tell people? He's like, no. Who cares? It's still, as you can tell, it still affects me.
And you
me
still
sad.
Believe that Kirk Cameron
he
called
did
you.
Call me,
you
Dean.
Still, I you think still it was, have an imaginary friend.
It was Kirk Cameron, different guy.
We can call my dad right now.
No, you weirdo.
Let's call my dad.
Allie, that didn't happen.
He's probably
see,
napping.
See, it doesn't always have to be celebrity-based, right?
No.
I have a story that I tell, and I honestly think about it at least once a month, and it is a 10-year-old story.
Okay.
Local, mm-hmm. regional story.
So was mine. Mine took place in Westlake Village.
Yeah, but yours didn't happen. Mine did.
Oh, my God. Oh,
at
my
the
God.
Arclight. The
Brian, Arclight. Brian, you hang on. We're going to get to you right after Jensen's story. 1-800-520-1067. You had a thing happen that nobody believes is real. All right, go ahead.
At the Arclight, there is a very high staircase, and it's actually the one that leads to where Kevining was, the mm-hmm. poster of Kevining.
Oh.
So, oh, it's like three staircases in one.
It absolutely is. It's very high. Almost like the Untouchables scene. Like,
yeah, it's a crazy staircase.
Exactly. So I was leaving about a 10:30 or 11 p.m. movie, uh-huh. and it was pretty desolate in the Arclight at that point.
Wow, your facts are already shifting, by the way.
What movie was it?
Was it 10:30? Was it 11?
No, I don't even remember the movie.
You don't remember the movie, but it's a story you think about every 10 years.
Call Allie's dad this happened.
Oh, my dad just texted me and said, Jensen's a liar.
All right, there's a guy walking in front of us, and he gets to the second stair. I would say there's, 100?
Oh, at least, yeah.
Maybe 150? Second stair. Trips on his own foot and rolls hardcore violently fast down the stairs.
Down all of them?
I mean, rolling on top of himself, catching his feet a little bit on the landings, but then hitting it again and going back down those.
Oh,
as he's going down, the woman he's with looks back at us and says, it's okay, everything's gonna be fine. Like, as if she's seen him do it before. So now in my head, I'm thinking, is he a stuntman? I don't. Yeah. I can't figure it out. He lands haphazardly on the final steps and then runs into the wall where the posters usually are, hits that pretty hard, falls for a second, gets back up and walks away. The woman he was with kind of runs down and then they walk out.
As if nothing had happened.
As if nothing had happened.
He's not at all hurt.
No, nothing. And if I wasn't with my friend Katie, I wouldn't believe it happened.
Oh, we've got Katie on line 4 who said, stop bringing me into this lie.
It happened, and no one believes me.
And that man who fell down the stairs was Kirk Cameron.
That's
the most
incredible thing ever. All right, let's take Brian's call real quick. Lake Forest, line 2, and then we'll get to the rest. 1-800-520-1067. Brian, you swear to us it happened, but you have trouble convincing people that that is so, right?
Nobody believes that Clay Matthew taught my 8-year-old son to be a better defensive end one day in the park about a few months ago.
Just like a normal park? You guys were just there and he walked over?
Right, I took him there to work on him because he got to work on some stuff. He walks up and says, let me help you out. I'm like, oh, yep, you go. My son has no idea who he is. Nobody will believe me because they ask him, like, did he do it? I'm like, I don't know who that is. And he's like, I don't know, no. Nobody believes a single word of it.
How was his hair in person? Was it amazing?
It was not so covered in fuzz and stuff. It was really, really nice.
Okay. I mean, you keep on believing that story if it makes you look good in your kid's eyes.
Yeah.
It was just some weirdo with a ponytail.
Exactly.
6'7" weirdo. I'll take it.
You just got to be. I mean, be more careful about who wants to play with your kid. I'm just saying.
Brian.
All right, Brian. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. It happened, but nobody believes you. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. The band is called MGMT. They are next on the world-famous K-Rock. First, though, let's get back to our topic. You swear it happened to you, but you can't get anyone to believe it. Sabrina, Anaheim, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding. What's going on?
Yeah, I was at the mall with my kids, and then we were walking around, and my son found a penny. And we were in front of a fountain, so he's like, you know, I'm like, well, make a wish, you know, toss it in. And so he makes a wish. And I was like,
she's lying.
Like,
well, let her finish. Let her finish,
old man.
Come on.
To say that so.
All right. So Penny in a fountain. Okay.
So he makes a wish. I'm like, what'd you wish for? He goes, I wish you could go to Disneyland. I was like, oh, that's a good wish. I wish I could make that happen for you. But, you know, Disneyland's so expensive. So anyway, we go to the restroom, and I see this backpack. I'm like, who leaves a giant backpack in the bathroom? Who forgets that? And I started thinking, well, maybe it's like a homeless person, but I don't know. So I started to look inside to see if there's a contact. And as I'm looking, I find these Disneyland passes. And there's two of them. There's three of them, and I have two kids. So I was like, no way. That's really weird.
So you stole them from a homeless person?
No, never. No. I was just like, oh my gosh, what do I do? And I don't know whose backpack this is. And, you know, and if I turn it in, someone's going to, those things are gone. So I waited and I was just kind of waiting. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to sit here in the bathroom all day. So I started like making my way out. But some people were coming. They're like, oh my God, did you find a backpack in there? Is there a backpack? And I was like, oh yeah, there is one actually. I was like, dang it. But at the same time, I was happy for them because, you know, I wasn't trying to take their Disneyland passes. So.
She's lying.
I believe her, and I think it's wonderful.
She told
Sabrina's
a good
she's a good mom.
Yeah.
And a dream is a wish your heart makes. That's what we learned from this story, right? Mm-hmm. That's how it goes in the Disney movie, right?
I don't know. Something like that.
Thank you very much for the call, Sabrina. You sound like a very, very nice person. All right, Robert and John and Ramon and Henry and Raymond, everybody, hang on. Talk to you coming up on K-Rock. When I was about four, this Reddit post begins. I was jumping on the top bunk of my uncle's bunk bed. The whole thing collapsed with me still on it. I got up from the wreckage only to step directly on a loose nail that went straight through my foot.
Oh.
Bawling, I walked out to the living room where my grandma sat me down on the couch while she called up my dad. I don't remember much what happened after that, but I can perfectly recall the way it felt, having to walk on the edge of my heel to avoid driving it deeper into my foot, being worried I would get in trouble for all the blood dripping on my grandma's light gray carpet and couches. But no one else remembers it, and I don't even have a scar. My dad and my grandma both swear up and down it never happened, but I remember it so well.
Interesting.
You were four. Beat it, kid.
Yeah, wow. No.
Right?
He doesn't even have a foot.
I mean, a lot of people think things happen with their kids, but we're talking about you're a grown-up, and you know it happened, and you still can't get anyone to believe you. Like our man Henry on line six. He's in San Fernando. Henry, we are here to believe you. What's going on?
Hi, there was this... good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I was working security for the Golden Globe Awards, and for the after party, I saw Katy Perry walk in, and I swear when she walked in, she kept checking me out. So
Hear him out, guys. Okay, hear him out. Go on, Henry. Keep going with your lies.
And towards the end of the night, I saw her again, and she grabbed me by my arm and stared into my eyes. I don't know what to say. And I went to go tell my coworkers and my wife, and nobody believed me.
Okay, you don't have a wife either, Henry, right?
You might not even have a job or coworkers. Henry, you're living in a fantasy world, son. You gotta get some help. Katy Perry was not checking you out.
I swear that's what happened, and I'm sticking to my story.
All right.
Okay. I don't hate it. I don't hate it, Henry.
You're going to allow
him? Yeah, I'm going to allow that story.
Okay. You're a loser.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Henry. I mean, look, I'd like to walk around thinking that Katy Perry was checking me out, too, but it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Robert, L.A. He is on line two, up next on the Kevin Bean Show. Robert, what's going on?
Morning, party people.
Morning.
So, my story happened back in the early 90s, so I believe 91, I think 10 years old. So my parents worked at this warehouse over in Huntsman Park by Alameda. the warehouse field there, across the street was a park. So when I would go out of school, I would hang out in the park with some of my friends. And one day, a small tornado came by, and we all ran, and they made it into the restroom. I got caught between the restroom and the tornado, so I went under a bench, held on for dear life. My feet were up in the air, and nobody believes that it ever happened.
Because it didn't. Do you think
lies,
that's why?
Lies, lies.
So you were the...
I swear it happened.
You were the only person who got caught up in that tornado.
Actually, no. There was also a big homeless man that was sitting in one of the benches, and he held on to the table, and all his belongings went up in the air.
Unreliable witness.
This is Wizard of Oz. You watched Wizard of Oz on TV. I have a question. Does anyone else remember this?
Well,
they were all in the bathroom.
This was almost 20 years ago, over 20 years
ago. So no one remembers it.
They do. We talked about it afterwards, that how crazy it was.
And you got your story straight and everything? You told them what to say?
No. I mean, we all experienced it. They ran into the restroom, but I didn't make it. So I just snuck under a bench and...
And then I woke up, and he was there, and you were there, and you were a lion, and you needed a heart.
Robert, you're a hero, man. You survived the worst natural disaster to ever hit Southern California, but you're the only one who remembers it.
Because you know the tornadoes that hit Huntington Park all the time.
Oh, notorious, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
It happened.
Okay.
I stick to my story.
Ali, I'm sorry we didn't have time for Ramon. I know you were really eager to talk to him.
Can I just say this? We just did the topic, things that happen that nobody believes. And Muggs and I both saw that line 5 was Ramon, and it was did Caltrans work with Nate Dogg. And I was so excited to go, hold up. And then Muggs said this.
Did he tell you? Clean trash on freeways.
And we laughed for 5 minutes straight because we both avoided the file. But damn it, it would have been great.
You can see where the 8 to 9 hour gets us a little goofy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you can see why sometimes Daddy doesn't go to the calls that you want to.
Also.
The Hella Mega Tour, by the way, is on sale now for Dodger Stadium next July. We have tickets for you to see Green Day, Weezer, Fall Out Boy, and The Interrupters. We'll tell you how to win them in about 5 minutes from right now on The Kevin Amin Show. First, Ali, what's happening?
I was going to give something away here, but I'm going to hold off.
All right.
You mean you're going to hold up?
I mean, you happy about that?
I am.
Okay, me too. I loved it. Yeah, I'll be giving away something in the 9 o'clock hour. Let's just say I'm not joking. It's the Joker. It's tickets to the advanced screening of Joker. Guys, second year in a row, the Emmy Awards hit an all-time low in the ratings.
What's up, bitches?
Sunday's telecast on Fox pulled in just 6.9 million viewers.
That sucked.
That's down 32% from last year's Emmy Awards on NBC. That's a big slide.
That really is.
That's not even like, did a little bit worse. It sunk below 7 million for the first time ever.
Yeah, when you lose over 30% of your audience year to year, you're doing something. Now, the Emmys, as I understand, historically are always lower on Fox than they are on the other networks. I don't know why that is. But it can't help. I mean, I guess they're always up against football. It's just, it has to be just people losing interest in award shows.
You're up against football, which never helps, but also your lead-in is football, right?
Yes,
so
correct.
So you should retain Fox and CBS when it's on those networks, should at least retain some of those people.
Now when it's boring and awful.
It is boring and awful.
There was no host that people were excited to see what he was going to do. You know, if it was Dave Chappelle hosting.
He was going to do. What a
he or
dick,
she.
Right?
I said he or she was going to do.
Did
yes.
You?
I mean, you heard,
heard he,
which is more of a problem for you.
Wow, internalized misogyny, Allie.
That is really weird that you
amazing.
Heard what
you, know what?
You wanted
can blame
to hear.
It on men. You can blame it on men.
Oh, my gosh, that's amazing.
Because you're so institutionalized
by
us knowing it would be a man.
Thank you. Dismantle the patriarchy.
Well, I just got gretted.
What were we saying?
We were saying
because no hosts.
Okay, yeah. No shows that people knew of, really?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. There were so many things working against this Emmy Awards, including that it also sucked.
How do you think the show's going so far?
I think it's weak.
our show? I'm not real sure. It's also a bad sign when people that are sitting in the audience don't even want to be there. Like John Hamm, that skipped most of the Emmy Awards after the opening to go hang out backstage.
Do you care?
I do. Apparently, he was seated next to Brad Falchuk and his wife, Gwyneth Paltrow. But after the opening, he went to chill in the lounge for the rest of the night, and he wasn't alone. He was there with Terrence Howard, who I'm hoping was talking about gravity. Taraji P. Henson, who I'm hoping was just looking at him like he was nuts. Mm-hmm. And Gwendolyn Christie. They were all spotted backstage for the majority of the show. Mm-hmm. So that's not great.
Isn't that creepy?
It is. So Jared Padalecki, we love him, right? Supernatural. He's
not the kid from Subway. Okay, sorry.
We don't love him.
Okay. Well, I was wondering why Allie had such a change of heart on Jared.
No. Well, he is going to be in a reboot of Walker, Texas Ranger. They are shopping the project to the CW, which is interesting because they currently air Supernatural. The reboot will reportedly be in the same vein as CBS's similar reboots, Magnum P.I., MacGyver. The series would focus on Walker, Texas Ranger.
What's the point? It should have a point or something.
He's going to return from years of being undercover. He's a widower, a father of two. He begins fighting crime with a new partner, who's one of the only female Rangers in history. Anyone interested in that?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
All right.
I didn't care about Walker, Texas Ranger the first time around.
Yeah.
What if Chuck Norris is listening? Honestly, you're dead. He'll kill you.
I would already be dead if Chuck Norris were listening.
Okay. I'm not quite sure how to feel about that.
Because that's how fast he is. Yeah.
Okay.
Through the radio.
Got it. An Idaho man has broken the Guinness World Record for...
What happened?
Throwing a tortilla.
That's not a record.
It is a record. And he... bitch, this record. The previous record, 30 feet 1 inch. This dude, who has a name, David Rush, threw that tortilla 54 feet 5 inches.
Holy moly.
Yeah, that's like 24 feet more.
Then what?
Then 30.
Then what?
Well, I think he's asking what he did after he threw the tortilla.
He was like, I just made that last record, my bitch. Mm. And then he threw the tortilla on the ground like a football, and he spun it.
It's riveting.
By the way, this is the same guy that has broken over 100 Guinness World Records, but he does it for a good cause. He does it to promote STEM education.
Why?
Which is a great... Well, he wants more people to... And more younger people to get interested in STEM, so...
Why?
Well... A lot of future in that, basically.
Why not?
Oh!
Thank you for understanding
rare change,
me.
Wow. Rodney.
Then what?
Well, then what? Bean, can I tell you someone who basically is using an excuse that you could have used?
Okay.
This is a Massachusetts woman. She's a big runner. Loves running marathons. So she signed up to run a half marathon near her home in Worcester. However, she soon learned, too late, that she was not signed up for a marathon near her home in Worcester, Massachusetts. She was signed up for one in Worcester, England.
Yay!
You could have used that excuse, dude.
Happened to me, Jensen.
Did it?
Happened to me. I had travel reservations made for a rental car in Birmingham, Alabama. When I arrived there after midnight to pick up my rental car, they said, we don't have anything for you here, but I see that you've reserved something in our system in Birmingham, England.
You really liar!
Which isn't where I was.
This would have been perfect to get out of a marathon. Could have trained for a full year and then said, oh, same thing happened as my rental car.
So I totally get where she's coming from.
I do like this, though. She laughed at her own mistake. She sent the English race organizers a picture of her route and like references to her fitness app, just so they're aware she still did the marathon. And they wound up sending her a medal, a shirt, and then encouraged her to travel the 3,000 miles next year.
Okay.
To come and do it in, is it called Worcester in England or is it Worcester?
I think it's Worcester, yeah.
Okay. All right. So how exciting for Sheila Pereira.
It's a happy ending.
I just thought that was such a cute story.
Yeah.
I mean, total dumbass, but pretty cute.
Dean, how did they sound when they told her to come back next
year?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't there, you guys.
Say that we sent you a medal and a shirt, and please come next year. Just say that, like how your people would say it.
We sent you a bunch of stuff, and we'd like you to come see us next year.
Yeah.
And she's like, in Worcester or Liverpool? Because you sound like you're in Liverpool, sir.
I've just got the one accent, lady.
I just moved here.
I just moved here. I'm a Liverpudlian.
Is that what they're called?
I didn't know you knew all the terms.
Liverpudlian?
Yeah, Liverpudlians, yeah.
No, they're not.
They are.
Wow.
And people from Manchester are called Mancunians.
Yeah, but I feel like Liverpudlians, maybe Liverpoolians.
It's Liverpudlian. I can't help you. It's a weird country.
Wow.
And I wish I were there now.
More so than ever.
Yes.
Some birthdays for you. Stephanie McMahon, Nia Vardalos, Kevin Sorbo, and Ben Platt. And that's what's happening.
All right. You love the Green Day, the Weezer, the Fallout Boy. We want to hear from you right now at 1-800-520-1067. We have a game lined up. You are going to play to win Hella Mega Tour tickets. Call now. If you're on social media over the weekend, you could not help but see the Untitled Goose Game everybody was talking about. And apparently, Jensen, you say everybody is playing by now.
They love it. It was trending on Twitter. People are buying $15 on the Switch.
Okay. We will discuss Untitled Goose Game. It sounds like a lot of fun coming up in minutes here on K-Rock. First, though, we want to give you your tickets for the show. Green Day, Weezer, Fall Out Boy, and The Interrupters. They're all playing Dodger Stadium July 25th. Tickets are on sale now. You can also win a pair at krock.com, but we're giving them away in a game we like to call Baby Songs.
Baby songs, oh baby songs.
Found out that this happens a lot. There's like baby songs. It sounds like baby songs, and there's.
Were you searching for the word lullabies when you said baby songs twice?
Yes, I was. Yes, I was.
So that's
where it came from, and forever they will be known as baby songs, and it's exactly what they are, is little lullaby versions of rock and roll songs. We're going to be playing one for each caller, and all they have to do is identify the song by title and artist. Here's the hint. They're all Fall Out Boy, Green Day, or Weezer songs. Okay?
That's it, yeah.
So one of the three bands you're going to be seeing if you end up winning the tickets. We'll play the baby song version. You tell us who the artist is and what the name of the song is. We'll take him in order, Beer Mug, and we'll start with Joe and Van Nuys. He's up first, line one. Hey, Joe.
Morning. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. So listen up. It's going to be one of those three bands, title and artist. Here we go. I know that sounds familiar to you. Who's the band? What's the song?
Fall Out Boy.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you don't have a title.
My songs, you know what you do in the dark?
No. Sorry. We were looking for Sugar. Oh. We're going down. I'm sorry, Allie. Yes, you were going to sing it. Let's have Allie sing them instead.
Yeah, it's fine.
That's
fine.
A great idea. All right.
Baby songs, oh baby songs.
Andrew Claremont up next, line two on the Kevin and Bean Show. Andrew, so far no one in the drawing. Let's see if we can get you in there. You ready?
All right, let's get it.
Good luck. I mean, it's awful.
Tough.
It's awful, but what is it?
What the hell is it? Yeah. Is it, let's go, Green Day?
Yes.
Yes.
Green Day, and let's just...
throw out a Green Day.
Shot in the dark. Let's try When I Come Around.
I'm sorry.
Welcome to paradise.
Yeah, the little xylophone was the only clue right there, but it, wow.
That was a tough one. That one's not on you, my friend. That one's not on you. All right, Aaron Anaheim up next. Aaron, 0-2 so far with our other callers. How are you feeling about your chances?
feeling pretty lucky, hopefully.
Oh, yeah, that sounded very convincing.
Okay, yeah.
All right, it's a Fall Out Boy song, a Green Day song, or a Weezer song. Title and artist, good luck.
All right.
Another hard one.
Okay, all right. Ooh. What do you think, Aaron?
Sounded like a Fall Out Boy.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
You had the time of your life.
Yeah, there
you go. I
feel
like it was a remix of
that. Tone was hard, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Nice try, though. Thank you for playing anyway. All right, we're not quite in sudden death, but we're getting close. Let's say hi to Jason Lake Forest. Jason, help us out here. We want to give away these Hella Mega Tour tickets.
All right, I'm ready.
Good luck.
Okay.
What say you, sir?
Weezer, Buddy Holly.
Yeah. All right, Jason is in the drawing. Hey, let me ask you guys a question. Would you rather listen to nothing but baby songs for the rest of your life or be deaf?
Baby songs.
Really? I think I'd rather be deaf.
For everything?
Yeah. That's how bad they are.
Baby songs, oh baby songs.
Pete would never hear another thing.
Never hear
people
Donna saying I love you again. Yeah, never animals? Hear a dog.
No, no radio ever again.
No radio. No, just to avoid this. All right, Jessica Chino, you ready to play the game?
I am. Thank you.
Title and artist. Good luck. All right, I feel good about your chances here.
It's a little honky honk there at the end.
I feel good. Jessica, what do you got?
I know it's by Fall Out Boy. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And, shoot, gonna get me.
What's it called?
It's called...
I'm sorry. Dance, dance is what we were looking for. All right.
Dance.
Nice try, though. One more call. Let's make it Woodland Hills. Let's say hi to George, our final contestant, see if we can get Jason some company there in the winner's circle. George, you ready to play?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Here we go. This is the worst Sandals resort party I've ever been to. All right, George, what do you think?
You know, surprisingly, it didn't sound too far from the actual song.
No.
So I Island in the Sun, Weezer.
All right. So both of our qualifiers got lucky with Weezer songs. Mm-hmm. Jason and George are in the running. Only one will win a pair of tickets to the Hella Mega Tour at Dodger Stadium July 25th to see those bands, plus Fall Out Boy, Green Day, and The Interrupters. Miss Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Jason.
Yay!
Jason, way to go, man.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Have a great time next July 25th, and thanks for playing Baby Songs.
Baby Songs, oh baby. Songs.
And now, a public service announcement from The Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, it's Allie. I know we mostly kid here on Kevin and Bean, but with today's heat, I want to get serious for a second. With these temperatures, buttholes are the first to feel it. Be aware of swamp ass, keep a washcloth close, and your anus in mind. Thanks for listening.
The Kevin and Bean Show. We care.
Is this the final blast of summer heat, or do you think it's coming back in October like it sometimes does?
You say blast because the swamp ass thing?
No, just because, you know, it's...
Because of anuses?
Listen, I feel like we've said this 6-7 times already in the last 2 months. It's the last hot day. It's supposed to be 100 in the valley today.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
But it's supposed to cool down significantly starting tomorrow.
It's supposed to rain Saturday, I heard.
There's 30% chance. I'm just wondering if this is it, if now it's going to be...
Okay.
There are years I've had to turn on my air conditioning when I'm decorating for Christmas.
All right, so it's still 100 degrees, still in our future.
Well, yeah. Also, I decorate for Christmas in July. So
that's true. All right, speaking of weather, Allie, just real quick before we get into your final love, what's happening.
Yes.
We were doing a call-in topic with our listeners last hour about things that happened to you that nobody believes. And do you remember the young man who called, who made up that story about the mini tornado in,
yes,
in Huntington, right?
Yeah.
Well,
Highland
another
Park, right? Huntington Park.
Huntington Park, yes.
Okay.
Another listener, not the caller, but another listener was so intrigued that he researched the archives of the LA Times to find this story. Winds, torrential rain blasts homes and motorists. Small tornado rips El Cerrito district as strong storm soaks Southern California. Tornado-like winds ripped off roofs, lightning bolts knocked out electric power, and drenching rain snarled freeways and prompted flash flood warnings, and a powerful spring storm hammered Southern California. Here it is. Fire officials say a mini tornado carrying winds exceeding 100 miles an hour struck a one-block strip of El Cerrito Avenue just north of Huntington Drive in the El Cerrito District of L.A., shredding roofs, shattering windows, downing a 100-year-old oak tree, and toppling a billboard onto the back of a car.
I can't believe this guy went as far as to make these fake articles.
How did he do that in that amount of time?
No. What I'm saying is the Times seems to be supporting the mini tornado that he described that he was stuck in, that he was hanging on by his fingernails.
And he wrote for the paper.
He didn't write for the paper. He was just a guy in the wrong place at the wrong time when the weather hit.
Such a big liar.
I'm just saying we accused him of making the whole thing up.
Lies, lies, and more lies.
But now it sounds like it might have happened.
Total liar.
What if he's telling the truth? All right, Allie, take us home with the final What's Happening here on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean Show.
I got something to give you.
Yes?
We all know Joker movie comes out on October 4th. Joaquin Phoenix, it looks so darn good.
It's a week from Friday.
How would you like to see it early? How would you like access for two into the K-Rock advanced screening of Joker at the Arclight Hollywood on October 1st?
Yay!
Yes, please. Let's take callers 15 through 19 right now at 1-800-520-1067.
Write down our toll-free telephone number. You're going to need it. It's 1-800-5800-TOM.
No, I just said the number. 1-800-520-1067. Callers.
All you have to do is call this toll-free telephone number. It's 1-800-5800-TOM.
Again, sir, incorrect. Callers 15 through 19 right now.
1-800-5800-TOM. That's our telephone
sir.
Number.
And you're going to get access for two into the K-Rock advanced screening of Joker at the Arclight Hollywood on October 1st.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067.
I love you.
I love you too, Doto, because you give us the correct number, and I appreciate that about you.
Instead of the bad man.
We were talking
call my mama.
How hot it's going to be today in the valley. Can I tell you what not to do in your car?
Okay.
Do not leave a bottle of dry shampoo in your center console. Why do I say that? Because a teenage girl from St. Louis, Missouri, left a bottle of dry shampoo in her car all day, came back later to find that the container had blown a hole through her sunroof.
Wow.
You guys hear me?
Yeah. No, I'm hot!
She had placed the aerosol can inside the car's closed middle console. The heat became so hot that it caused it to explode. It blew the console cover off of its hinges, shot through the sunroof, and went high enough in the air that it landed 50 feet away.
Wow.
A little dry shampoo aerosol.
I mean, the key word here is aerosol.
It's aerosol.
Yeah.
But still. Through a center console, through a sunroof, and then 50 feet away?
Yeah.
Someone could have died.
That's powerful.
That's hot.
Oh.
Okay, well, just saying, it's pretty powerful.
I mean, if that happened, that's bad.
I mean, it was in the news.
She's claiming it happened,
and, but so was that tornado, and that was fake.
Okay, you're right. Jeffrey Wright and Jonah Hill are both in talks to star in the upcoming film from director Matt Reeves, The Batman. We all know it. It's the DC reboot that's going to have Robert Pattinson as the caped crusader. Here is what they're up for. Jeffrey Wright is in talks for the role of Commissioner James Gordon, and Jonah Hill, according to Collider.
I don't go on like Kevin and Bean. I'm like, yo, this is my favorite show. Like,
in talks to play the Riddler.
Okay.
I like both of those castings.
Uh-huh. Isn't it crazy how frequently Batman movies get made?
A little too much.
And TV shows for that matter, too.
Yeah, too many.
Are you talking about the Joker?
No, I mean, look.
You better not be, because I will.
I'm saying the Batman sounds like it's going to be great too. It's just, I can't think of another franchise that they more frequently redo, remake, and reboot. I mean, Spider-Man, arguably, you know, just as close. But I mean, even with the TV shows, like the Batgirl TV show that's coming on, Gotham just finished. You know, it just seems like movie after movie with this franchise. It's been around forever.
It's too many.
It's Batman. I mean, we just got to the bottom of it. You hate him. You hate a poor child that lost his parents.
No, I don't at all.
You hate orphans.
I'm just surprised. I don't care for orphans.
Okay,
I don't.
True.
But I'm just surprised at the resiliency of the character, considering it's, 80 years old or something like that. We are as fascinated by Batman as we ever were.
And there's a million video games.
Yeah.
Cartoons,
the whole deal, yeah.
You both hate Batman. We get it.
I'm
loud and clear.
I enjoy it. It's just
good
a lot.
God, you two. Gwen Stefani has announced the final 16 performance dates for her two-year-long headlining residency. It's called Gwen Stefani, Just a Girl, at Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. The show is going to end May 16th, 2020, but the final 16 performances, that's for February and May of next year, are going to go on sale this Friday. But maybe that's too far out for you. There are still a limited number of tickets and VIP packages for the remaining shows this year, which would be in October and November. So check those out.
That sounds bananas.
File.
Go ahead and file that. You guys keeping up with Dancing with the Stars?
Is it currently on?
It is currently on, and they just said goodbye to, I believe, the first person? Maybe.
Okay, who's that?
Well, here's the thing. When I read this, I'm like, this can't be right. After 2 hours of live performances, God, it was revealed at the end of the episode that two celebrity pro dancing pairings were in jeopardy of elimination. One, Ray Lewis. Apparently he...
I'm not going to be the one to tell him.
Yeah, you don't want to be. The other one, the Supremes, Mary Wilson.
Okay, well, she's very old.
Well, she cha-cha-cha'd her way right on out of that show, you guys. Okay.
I would have rather seen the murderer go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Look, I was wrong about Dancing with the Stars before it debuted, and I'm wrong about it now. America seems to love that show.
You told the creators when they came in to tell you about this brand new show that they had called Dancing with the Stars that I don't even think you let them get away with one season before you said it would be canceled, right?
Yes. We thought it would be canceled before the first season concluded. Yes.
And you guys put all of your weight into the diving show.
We were into Splash, and we were also into Knock Knock Who's There.
No, you weren't. Knock Knock Live.
Knock Knock Live, yes. That was the one we thought would go on forever, was Knock Knock Live.
And Utopia, were you guys big into Utopia
but
as well?
Dancing with the Stars had already been a sensation in 14 other countries, yet we still said, look, trust us on this. We're Americans and you're not, okay? We know this country. And this country is not going to watch anyone do the cha-cha-cha. We're just not. Here we are, 29 seasons later or something.
It's an obscene amount.
Still one of the biggest shows on television. Yeah.
Cuckoo. Cuckoo. You guys, Lizzo's Truth Hurts. Doing a pretty good job at sticking around on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. In the number one spot for the fourth straight week. But here's the thing. It's now the longest running number one solo single by a female rapper of all time.
I don't like that stat.
You don't?
Not a rapper.
She raps.
Yes, I understand she raps. She's not a rapper. She took over Cardi B's position.
Bodak Yellow.
Cardi B's a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Lizzo is, I would even say she's more in pop, or I would even push her towards R&B more than I would rap. I don't think she's a rapper.
You could have had a bad bitch.
Bean?
Non-committal.
That's rapping.
I do not think of her as a rapper. I think she has rap tendencies in her lyrics.
Yes.
In her songs. She has rap portions.
Well,
but she
sorry, they don't
sings.
Have a longest running number one rap adjacent single.
It could have been a pop single.
It could have been a...
See, she could have been a bad bitch. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, congratulations to Lizzo. So they hate Batman and Lizzo. You guys are awful human beings.
You got anything else?
The numbers get smaller, the hits get bigger.
I'm happy for Lizzo. I think it's great. Right. She's terrific. She's enormously talented, but I agree. Do you think she's a rapper like Cardi B is a rapper or Nicki is a rapper?
No.
Allie?
I don't. My headphones went out. I wasn't.
Okay. I mean, does Paula Abdul rap because of MC Scat Cat?
MC Scat Cat raps.
She kind of raps too. She's like, I smoke cigarettes and you don't, or whatever she did in that song.
What was that?
That's what she
what
said.
Just happened?
That's what she says in the song.
In what song?
In Opposites Attract.
Really?
Yeah. One of them smokes and the other one doesn't.
Okay.
One of them makes the bed, the other ruined. Whatever, they opposites attract.
But she doesn't do it sing-songy, does she?
She kind of raps it, yeah. I mean, the same way Lizzo does, man. No. She's singing.
I mean, I don't know why you hate her.
Janet Jackson, singer or rapper?
Janet Jackson, singer.
She raps sometimes. She's adjacent.
Where did she rap?
Rhythm Nation.
Why do some people tune out?
What part of Rhythm Nation
I don't know.
Did she rap in?
I
in the 5, 4, 3.
That's a rap.
2, 1. And it's not her.
All right.
I'm screaming.
God damn it. It's Tuesday.
Please.
Some birthdays for you. Stephanie McMahon, Ben Platt, Nia Vardalos, and Kevin Sorbo.
Disappointed!
I think you speak for a lot of people, sir. And that's what's happening.
I don't feel like we ended in a good place today, but we do have a chance to regroup and try again Wednesday. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers with our friends Stryker and Klein. Tomorrow on the program, Wednesday means B Mix's guests. Got that on the show tomorrow. Also, Jensen and Allie, are you guys not text compatible? Is that what we're learning here?
We text very, very differently.
I am 100% behind the way I do it. I think it's the only way to text.
And I think it's egregious.
Infuriating, you said.
Infuriating.
I think Kevin, who won't be here, he's dead, rest in peace, he also believes I'm a maniac for it.
Yeah. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
We'll discuss. Also, we have so much cool stuff to give away. More WWE 20th anniversary SmackDown tickets for you tomorrow. We also have the Hella Mega Tour tickets for you tomorrow. We got more Joker tickets because you can't get enough Batman. And tomorrow only, a masked singer contest. Mm-hmm. You can be in the audience for an episode of the craziest show on TV, Fox's The Masked Singer.